السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters and elders, we continue with our series of lectures on raising Muslim children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu stated and established the purpose. What is the Muslim supposed to do? And he said in Surah Al Imran, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin nas, ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "You Muslims have been extracted, selected, raised up lin nas, for the benefit of mankind." Allah did not say minan nas. He didn't say you have been selected from the people. He said you have been selected for the people. And what do? You enjoin al-ma'ruf. Ta'muruna bil-ma'ruf. Wa tanhauna anil munkar. And you prohibit al-munkar. Al-ma'ruf is everything which is good and permitted in Islam. And al-munkar is anything which is evil, which is not beneficial, which is harmful. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, and you believe in Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the standard to which we are supposed to be, and obviously the standard to which we are supposed to raise our children. I submit to you that the strongest shield against evil influences of society is high confidence and a strong sense of and pride in personal identity that is based on a noble history. It is only when you understand who you are that you get confidence in yourself, and then you live by that standard. One must differentiate between confidence and arrogance, between pride in one's identity and looking down on others. One is right and the other one is haram. There is nothing romantic about being apologetic. Decide what you are and either take pride in it or go become something else. But don't live your life apologizing to the world about your personal identity. The world respects those who have confidence, no matter how freaked out they may appear. So stop apologizing for being Muslim. I am reminded of the statement of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who said, and remember when he said it, he said, "I fear the day where disbelievers are proud of their falsehood and Muslims are shy of their faith." He said, "I fear the day when disbelievers are proud of their falsehood and Muslims are shy of their faith." Today Muslims are even afraid to look like Muslims. They are afraid to have a face that resembles the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So decide, you want to look like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or you want to look like somebody else, because that is what you will be recognized by, and you will be recognized for by the malaika when you go into your qabr. I submit to you and ask you this question, I ask myself, what can be nobler than the foundation of being Muslim and an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Not a distinction of race or tribe or nationality, but a distinction of faith and a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and his Habib and Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is when this sense of identity is deeply ingrained in the child that when he or she encounters a situation where there is temptation and shaitan on one side and you are not on the other side, this sense of who am I? Where do I belong? Who am I a part of? This sense comes to the rescue and the child chooses the right thing because, well, we don't do that. We don't do drugs, not only because it's illegal and stupid, but because we are Muslim and Muslims don't do drugs. We don't smoke, not because it sounds cool or it looks cool, but because we are Muslims and Muslims do not smoke. We don't tell lies, Not because it is not effective, but because Muslims don't tell lies. And I am a Muslim. I can't let the side down. I'm not alone. I stand by my side. The British ruled this country for over 100 years. They came to a country with clothing that was completely unsuited to the environment. And they came to a country which had clothing which was highly suitable to the environment. And not only that, the local clothing was more colorful, looked better and was more comfortable. But I challenge you to find me one picture, one photograph, one drawing, one sketch of an officer of the British Empire in anything other than Western clothes. I challenge you to find one single picture in over 100 or 150 years of rule. Well documented. Find me one picture. And you know the result of that? The result of the British sticking to their trousers is that they took off your pajamas and put trousers on you. I've got nothing against trousers, and I'm not in trying to sell pajamas. I'm just saying the issue of what you do with confidence, the word respects and the word then starts to emulate. That is the question. Muslim children must therefore be brought up with a final aim in mind. And what is that? To lead the world into Jannah. They must be carefully watched, nurtured and mentored from the earliest age. This is the meaning of tarbiyah. You need to feel this in your heart. You need to be able to stand in front of a mirror and say this to yourself without running away. Only then can you inspire anybody else. Muslim children must be given tasks of increasing difficulty so that they learn to win on their own. They must be allowed to face their fears and to conquer them. They must be supported but not protected. They must be advised but not directed. They must be allowed to take their own decisions, but not without the benefit of the frame of reference of the values of Tawheed, Sunnah, truth, honor, justice, responsibility, accountability, nurturing, and trusteeship. They must be allowed to feel, to cry in the night for the hardships that others undergo, to build friendships and relationships that span the boundaries of color, race, religion, nationality, and much more difficult, social order and prejudice. My brothers and sisters, akhlaq is the key differentiator of the Muslims. It is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu that is the primary responsibility of the parent to build and constantly strengthen, and which is the biggest and best protection against all evil that seems to surround us ever more closely. Children must be taught akhlaq that will differentiate them from the rest and make them stand out. Make them stand out as standard bearers of Islam. Apart from all things to do with social graces and politeness, a Muslim child must be taught those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered important enough to mention in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hujurat, there is a whole series of lectures of mine on ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat which is published as a book called Akhlaq of the Ummati. It's there on the net, it's free, download it and read it. Many of you of course heard all those lectures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى said, the meaning of which is, the believers are nothing but brothers in Islam. So make reconciliation, make sulah between your brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy. O you who believe, let not a group scoff at another group. Let not one group of people make fun of or mock another group of people. It may be that the others, the latter, are better than the former. Nor let some women mock other women. It may be that the latter are better than the former. Nor defame one another, nor insult one another by nicknames. How bad is it to insult one's brother after having faith? Which is refers to cursing and bad language and bad nicknames to people. And whosoever does not repent, then such indeed are the zalimun. O you who believe, avoid suspicion. Indeed, suspicion is sin. Some suspicions are sins. And do not spy and do not backbite one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You hate it. فَكَرِهْتُمُهُ. So hate backbiting. And fear Allah. Verily Allah is the one who accepts repentance, most merciful. As I mentioned to you, there's a series of lectures on this. On each one of these ayat, there is a lecture. So please listen to that and read the book that came at the end of that. My brothers and sisters, we have to straighten ourselves. All change begins with the self. Does not even begin at home. It begins with the individual. And you can listen to lectures till the cows come home. Nothing is going to happen unless you decide to make a change in your life. Children therefore must be taught how to speak to elders and teachers and to their own siblings. They must learn that respect is due to age, to learning and to character, not due to possessions and money. They must learn that their behavior will define them and that when they show respect for others, they actually show respect for themselves. And they merely demonstrate their own upbringing and they bring honor to themselves and to those who raised them. When they are disrespectful, the contrary is equally true. Being disrespectful is not insulting to the other person. It merely demonstrates the dishonorable nature of the speaker. It's strange today. To give you a very common example, you ask a young person, how are you? And he says, I am good. And he says, I am good. That's all. No, alhamdulillah, I am very well, thank you very much, how are you? Not even, I am well, thank you very much. I am good is a value judgment. It is for somebody else to decide whether you are good or not. All you can talk about is your health. If somebody says, how are you? All you can say is, I am well, I am sick, I am half dead or whatever, right? But you can't say I am good because it's nonsense. It's a nonsensical statement, has no meaning. And we just took it from somewhere and we use it completely senselessly. Let somebody else decide whether you are good or bad because that's where the decision has to come from, not from you. And this is what we need to teach people. If somebody asked you, how are you? They have done you a kindness by asking about your welfare, the least you can do is to thank them. And say, I am very well, thank you very much. And go a step further and say, and how are you? Go a step further because you are Muslim and say, alhamdulillah, I am well, how are you? These things have to be taught. So next time somebody says, how are you? What are you going to say? I am good. It's very common, if you see today, and it happens to me all the time because I travel a lot. I'm sitting in my seat in the plane and there's a magazine or a newspaper or something in my in my seat pocket, somebody from the other side just reaches over and takes it up. I invariably slap him on the wrist. And he gets very startled. He says, what happened? So I said, do you want that? He says, yes. I said, no, yes, please. He said, yes, please. I said, here, take it. He takes it. I said, no. I hang on to it. I said, take it. He says, what? I said, thank you. He says, thank you. Then he takes it. I mean, the grown people, huh? Grown people, I don't know what they eat and drink just growing up because of body is like a bullock or something. Huh? It's not a human being. We have to teach manners. We have to teach manners, because when your children, even if those children are 40 years old, when they behave like this, they are bringing disgrace onto you. Because obviously, somebody may not ask this out of politeness, but the thought in the mind is, oh, what kind of a family are you from? You know, who? Kiski aulaad hai, kais kahan paida hoga, kya hoga, kaisa badhega? There's a difference between growing up, between being brought up, and being dragged up. Right? So think about that. My dear brothers and sisters, think also. For example, Muslims enter the masjid and they enter the masjid, Allahu Akbar, they stand right in the door. What is this? I mean, do you need to be told that it is highly inconvenient, it's a problem for other people if you are praying in the doorway? Do you really need to be told? I mean, really seriously, we have to ask ourselves. As far as I know, IQ scores are expressed only in positive. I don't know of any negative IQ scores, but maybe we need to do that with Muslims, negative IQ scores. You need to be told that you shouldn't pray in the doorway. You need to be told that you shouldn't pray in the walkway. You need to be told that you need to park your car in such a way that it does not impede other people's traffic. You need to be told this? Seriously. And this is, car parking is a major problem globally. I mean, this is something which is any country in the world, number one reason why other people object to the establishment of masajid in their localities is because Muslims don't know how to park. No other reason. No other reason. I have seen myself Muslims parking a car straight across somebody's gate. Right across somebody's gate. And they've gone for salah. Now what happens if that person in the house wants to leave the house? What must they do? We need to be told this. Don't park your car in front of somebody's gate. Now with that kind of an IQ, I don't think it's even zero. I mean, it's like -100 or something. Right? Seriously, ask yourself. Every action of yours and mine is a reflection on you, on your parents, on your family, on Islam, on Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what you are. You get very upset. Somebody draws a cartoon and says, this is the cartoon of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, it is not. It is somebody, some idiot drew some picture. You get very upset. Every day, you are insulting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with your behavior. Because people are saying, who are these Muslims? Oh, these are the followers of Muhammad. Oh, Allah Kareem. Every day you are insulting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam by your behavior. Who is responsible for that? My brothers and sisters, wake up. Seriously, children learn by seeing what their parents do. People learn by seeing their elders. Nobody has to say a word. They learn by seeing their elders. A teacher once asked a question in the class of pre-primary children, small little kids. He said, what does the red traffic light stand for? So, you know, all these kids, they all yell together, right? He said, what does the red light stand for? The kid says, stop. They all yell, stop. He said, what does the green light stand for? They said, go. The teacher says, what does the orange line stand for? They said, go fast. My brothers and sisters, our child is our signature. Your child is your signature. Your child is your product. Ask if you want to be known as the father or mother of a young animal or of a young man or woman who makes you proud to be the father or mother of. And understand that it won't happen automatically. Raising children is a full-time job. It's a contact sport. You have to skin your knees, bruise your ankles, get your hands dirty, and above all, break your heart if you want to bring up children who you can be proud of. Only then does parenting work. And until you are ready to do that, sit down and eat popcorn before the TV set. Children must be taught that meal times are sacred because the home is not a hotel where you can simply order room service. Meals, especially the one meal at which the whole family eats together, and you must have this meal. One meal at which the whole family eats together, whatever is convenient. This must not be missed. It must not be interrupted. No screens in the bedroom or dining table. Smartphones, whatever, whatever. Mealtime is for the family, and any family guests who are in with you, mealtime is for them at the same time. Exams, games, TV shows, football, cricket, basketball, all of these are not acceptable excuses for missing the family meal. It's okay to invite friends to a meal at home, but not okay to talk to them on the phone while the rest of the family eats. Children must learn that guests must also follow the rules of the family home. Naturally, it is parents who have to set the norm. If the father misses the meal without comment, then so will the child. If the father sits in front of the TV because he wants to see what happened to his favorite team and moves the meal to the living room with eyes glued to the screen, then this will become the norm and he will have no moral authority to insist that the children do something different. If parents sit in their favorite chair and shout out to the servant to get this or that, so will the children. If parents litter, children will litter. If parents pay children to wash cars, mow lawns, clean attics or garages instead of personally doing these things, taking the children along with them, then children will learn that as long as they can throw money at some poor person to do their work, they need not care for their own environment. This is one of our major problems today. We don't take care of the commons. We don't take care of the environment. And we dump it on somebody else and we think it is someone else's job to do that. Not only will they not learn to take care of their common spaces, but they will also learn to treat some jobs with disrespect and to look down on those who do those jobs. All we have to do, may Allah forgive me, all we have to do is to go into the homes of people and see how they speak to their servants. You know this and I know this. Children must learn that they can never repay a kindness. Let me repeat. Children and everyone else must learn that you can never repay a kindness, because the person who did that kindness to you did not do that as a reaction to something you did. That person did it first out of the goodness of their heart. If you repay them till the day you die, you still cannot repay them, because you are repaying. You are doing it because they did it first, and they did not do it because of a cause. Understand and keep that in mind. Teach the children that. My dear brothers and sisters, these are the things that won the hearts. And people entered Islam because their hearts were won. People entered Islam because of the winning of hearts, not because of the winning of arguments. I repeat, people entered Islam because of the winning of hearts, not because of the winning of arguments. You win hearts by akhlaq, by demonstrating, by manners, by compassion, by concern for each other. That is what it takes. That is the most powerful dawah. Dawah is not giving lectures. Dawah is not distributing pamphlets. Dawah is not, definitely not, arguing with people. Dawah is to demonstrate a way of life and a way of being that is so attractive to people that people want to enter it on their own. Your dawah is successful if people come to you and say, I want to become Muslim, tell me what must I do. Only then is dawah successful. Each of these behaviors which I mentioned can be linked to one or more of the evils of our society. A society that is stratified according to economic circumstances, not according to knowledge, not according to moral values, not according to being honorable. A society where people don't care for other people, where the self is worshipped and indulgence and self-indulgence is the supreme goal, where freedom is defined as the ability to indulge your whims with impunity, even when some of this indulgence may be breaking the laws of God or country. You can see the character of a nation reflected in the things they compete for. Ask, what do you see Muslims competing for today? Knowledge, compassion, charity, piety, contribution, or just plain crass consumption, ostentation, arrogance, satisfying animal lusts, and accumulating expensive garbage? When Gandhiji died, someone took a picture of what he owned. The picture shows his trademark spectacles, a pair of sandals, a watch, an eating bowl and plate, and a khadi dhoti. The world bore witness to the fact that Gandhiji went to meet the king in his dhoti. Replying to a journalist who asked him whether he didn't feel underdressed to meet the king in his dhoti, Gandhiji's response was, "The king has enough on for both of us." Perfect rejoinder. Perfect riposte. By keeping his wits as well as his wit about him, Gandhiji showed the world what is to be taken seriously and what is to be brushed off with a quick line and a supreme demonstration of self-confidence. Not only did the world accept this, but Gandhiji is the first non-royal to appear on a British postage stamp. The first man. He made it there before Churchill, who refused to meet him in the same visit, by saying, "I refuse to meet that naked fakir until he learns to dress properly." The naked fakir smiled when he was told about this comment, because he was looking at a future when he was about to kick Churchill and Churchillian ways out of his country. My brothers and sisters, Muslim children must learn that Islam is not just a set of rituals of worship, but a complete way of life where duties to people are mentioned along with duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They must be taught how worship adds value in this life, how it gives them a competitive advantage to win in this life. They must be taught how connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them an insider's advantage, enabling them to infuse barakah into all that they say and do, so that they get maximum result with minimum effort. That is the definition of leverage. It is our ability to interpret Islam and show how it makes sense today that gets our children. It is our inability to interpret Islam and show how it makes sense today that gets our children disconnected from Allah. They are disconnected because we are disconnected. After all, you can only give what you have. So ask, what do I have? And then make the effort to upgrade yourself. A candle doesn't light up a room by doing anything to the room. It lights up the room by igniting itself. So learn to take from Allah and give your children. If you can't even give your children, how are you going to give to the world? The way to do that is to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make no mistake, my dear brothers and sisters. If you don't follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will get nothing. Try it for yourself or regret it when you die. Your call. All these things will make the Muslim child a walking, talking example of the way of Islam, and will differentiate him from the rest and make him a benchmark and a role model for others. Ask yourself, do you think your child deserves this? Ask yourself, do you think this is worth your while in terms of bringing up children like this? Seriously ask yourself this question, and if the answer is yes, then do what I have been advising you. If the answer is no, then it's your life, it's your child. This, my brothers and sisters, is the essence of Islam and the example that Rasulullah ﷺ and his Sahaba left for us. When they used to say to anyone who asked them about Islam, they used to say, "Kunu mithlana," become like us. And that was because they were Islam personified. And that is the first duty of the Muslim parent, to mold the child in the Islamic way by demonstrating Islam. Rasulullah ﷺ never taught children. He didn't run a crush. He did not run a maktab. He taught the parents. He taught adults, and they in turn taught their children. Parenting can't be outsourced. It has to be done hands-on. And for that you have to learn how. Producing children is natural. Parenting is not. Parenting, like driving, has to be learned. But unlike driving, unfortunately, you don't need a license to do it. More the pity, for we see the results of unlicensed parenting all around us and we suffer from it. But that doesn't mean that you should also do it. So please learn to become good parents, because parenting is not about children. Parenting is about parent. I'm sure you never heard the word childrening, because there is no such thing as parenting, because parenting is about parents, not about children. Children are its beneficiaries or its victims. Your call once again. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.